this computer.
It's the Talkover Pod. DJ Double, DJ CB. Good afternoon or evening or morning. I don't when do most people listen, do you reckon? I actually know when most people listen. Most DJs listen, yeah, when they're coming back from the club.
Yeah, to keep themselves awake.
Yeah, that's it. And but also because like I'm exactly the same as this. When I'm coming back from the club, the last thing I want to hear is music.
Big facts.
Especially new music. Get the fuck out of my eardrums.
new music and anything that's been played in the clubs that you play every single DJ set.
Yeah, like, who's driving home to Mobamba?
Yeah.
Oh, there's only one DJ yeah that I know that would do this. DJ Sentence.
Oh yeah.
100% drives home to Travis Scott's album.
Oh, or Yeet. He loves a bit of Yeet.
Or Yeet. Loves it. He has Yeet and Fiend on repeat. Even if it's a 4-hour drive, it's just those two songs on repeat. And he's just wiling out in his car. But he's the only guy. I don't even know when he listens to the podcast. I know he does, but yeah, shout out to DJ Sentence. You know, sorry, this is a random train of thought that we shouldn't even be going down. But you know, one day I drove from Birmingham to Maidstone. And this isn't going to surprise anyone, actually. Last was the only song that I listened to for the entire journey. I am not bullshitting you. It was about a 2.5-hour journey. And I had it on repeat. And there was never silence in the car. Bro, I listened to Last on repeat for 2.5 hours on the same car journey.
Bro, it gets like that.
You know how psychotic you have to be?
Do you know
the same song, and it's not even like if it was like Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. That's like 54 different songs in one. It goes on for about 10 minutes, and it's cool because that single song is like listening to an album. Last is like 2.5 minutes long.
But you listen to that's over
24 times in an hour. 48 times, bro. That's 60 times. What is that? 48. That is 60. I listened to Last 60 times on the same car journey.
Like, I think I've done something. I don't think I've done it in long time, but I've had Last on repeat because when it came out in it just had crack in it.
Crack. It is crack. And easily.
But you know what? Like, some people do listen to songs over and over, the same one for focus. It's a thing because if you. Because I think a lot of people that want to do a lot of work, or maybe you want to concentrate on driving. Like if you have the same song playing, you kind of focus on the task you're doing because you don't have to worry about the next song that's coming on. You know exactly what's coming next, so you're a lot more relaxed.
That's so maybe that's an interesting theory. I can't concentrate on tasks. I mean, driving is an exception. But I can't fully concentrate on things if I have music on in the background.
Try listening to the same song over and over when you next do your next task.
Might listen to Last again. I might just. I've got some stuff to do tomorrow in the house. I've got DIY to do. I'm going to listen to Last and see if I can keep it on loop for more than 2.5 hours.
Mate, do it. Because I think I listened to, was it Justin Timberlake Until the End of Time when I was doing an hour and a half task. I listened to it over and over. And eventually you kind of just forget that it's playing.
Is that from the album that he did with Timbaland?
Yeah, I think so. What's it called?
Until the End of Time.
Yeah, hang on.
Is the song Mirrors on that album as well?
Let me double check. What's from my Spotify?
Because I feel like a lot of those songs he did with Timbaland were like 7 or 8 minutes long.
Hang on. What's wrong with my Spotify? Do you know what? Let me see if this works. Come on in. Oh no.
All right, I'm gonna race you.
Everything's crashing. Oh. Yeah, nah. Unless I've got to go to Google.
Until Google. The end of time.
So the album it's on is Future Love, Future Sex, Love Sounds. And then you said Mirrors is on here. No. Actually, hang on. Oh, no, there's more. Hang on.
Oh, it's the same album that Summer Love was on there.
Yeah. So Until the End of Time. So there's two versions of it because there's one with, I think there's one with Beyonce in it. Is it Beyonce?
Yeah. There is a version with Beyonce. Google's telling me this, actually. I didn't know that. So that song is, this says it's 5 minutes long.
Yeah, so I listened to that over and over whilst I was doing the I don't know if I was writing something or doing something, I don't know, but yeah, literally. But it's a focus thing.
Yeah.
It's if you listen to the same song over and over, because obviously if you've got a playlist playing in the background and you're trying to concentrate, the changes of songs are going to get you distracted, because you might be like, I don't like this song, or
yeah,
something's changed, you know what I mean? So if you listen to the same thing over and over, it helps you concentrate. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you had, or maybe you were just addicted to Last and you just could not help yourself.
Right. It was when it first landed in my inbox and I got it. It was around about the time when it was just being released. And like, yeah, I was just captivated by it. Like I say, everybody actually already knows this about me. Like, it's one of my favorite songs from the decade. I'm not even bullshitting. But yeah, it's actually wild, the entire journey. But I am very habitual like that. I am the type that if I get a song that I love, and you know what else? Sorry, I'll probably go off on tangents with this song.
Yeah.
I think I also, because it was partly in Yoruba, I wanted to listen and learn the words as well. Because like, even over time, I was actually looking up what the sentences meant and like, trying to figure out what he was singing about and learning what the song actually was about.
Yeah, see me. I'm fully mumbling during that song still to this day.
Oh, bro, I could sing it word for, I'm not going to, but I could sing it word for word right now with perfect pronunciation as well. But yeah, big news in the DJ nightlife, nightclub world in England this week. Recom, have you heard this? Recom went into administration.
Recom, I'm guessing these are all the clubs to do with, is this Prism?
Prism, yeah. Attic, I think it's Bar and Beyond, and Steinberg or Steinbeck, whatever they're called. They're formerly called Luminar, and then Deltic, and then Recom. So Recom are a Nordic company from Norway. They took over. We had Peter Marks, actually, the CEO, on the podcast just before this happened. And Recom took over Deltic. I think it was Deltic at the time. Yeah. Recom took over Deltic just at the end of the pandemic lockdowns. And so they bought the company, and their idea was to redo all the big clubs and all of this stuff, and then have their strategy in the Nordic countries is that they have a club and they buy up all the surrounding bars as well. And they're basically feeder bars. So they will shut all of the bars at a similar time with offers and whatnot. They are, okay, if you go to the club now, you get free entry, or however they want to work it. And that was their strategy, is to like buy up the big clubs and then eventually buy up all the bars in town as well, and then just push all of the customers towards the club once the bars are closed. And I think like, yeah, so they've bought Deltic, and I think it's probably been, what, 2 years maybe? Yeah, about 2 years now that they've been operating. And it's just not working out for them.
Yeah, so, clubs are dying. Clubs are dying, bro. We've been saying this for time, innit? Like,
100. Yeah. I don't think the whole company's gone into administration, but I think separate branches have. For example, Prism in Watford is now closed. Closed forever. Yeah. That shut on New Year's Eve. I know a lot of their clubs are in trouble. Like, they're just not, people aren't coming out. They're not hitting the numbers. But yeah, it's a crazy one, man, because potentially a lot of those big clubs have three rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ones that aren't university towns have obviously Friday and Saturday where they're opening. So that's potentially six DJs for every club that is now out of work.
Yeah, my Discord group were talking about like, residency DJs are struggling now, innit? Like all these residency DJs that have been at these clubs for about 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, they're actually going to be out of work now. And they're going to be in a position where they got to kind of start their DJ career again, because they got so comfortable and they're like, oh, I'm going to be at this club forever. Yeah, and they haven't worked on anything else. So now they've lost this residency. They're like starting at like zero again, innit?
And you know what's mad is like, if you're doing a residency two nights a week, it's actually not bad. Like, although we always say like, yeah, in relative terms, the clubs are not paying correctly. But let's just say you're getting 250 a night, yeah, because you're doing a room in a corporate club and you're doing two of them a week. That's $2,000 a month. That's 24 grand a year before tax. Some office jobs don't pay that when they're working 9 to 5. Do you know what I mean? Or at least I don't think they do. It's actually been a while since I checked what an office job pays. But conventional jobs generally, I don't think pay up to about 24 grand a year.
It depends what you're doing in it, because obviously admin jobs, yeah, you're probably, I think, I don't know what the what is it, the average salary is now, but I'd say around about 24 to 26k.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, like you said, that's working 37 hours.
Yuck. I don't think I've worked 37 hours in my career, let alone in a week. I have. But yeah, it's when you take those corporate jobs away, when you take the residencies away, it's actually quite a big financial loss for these guys.
Yeah, and especially if you're a full-time DJ as well. And you have no other side ventures or anything as well, man. It's stress. And I reckon a lot of DJs this year are going to start to feel it. And they're going to wish that all that time they were cussing all the DJs for doing all the TikTok mixes and making them, saying that these DJs are simple or whatever, they're going to wish they were doing it, because now they're going to have to start doing that now. And they're going to be struggling. They're going to have to do something. They have to do something if they want to continue, because... Yeah, man. So I think a lot of DJs did kind of see it, myself included. So I no longer have a residency on a Saturday, but that's out of my choice.
Right. But okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I decided to focus on other things now because of how the clubs are being. And because we've been speaking about it so much now, I've kind of seen that, I've looked ahead in the future. I was like, you know what? Let me step out of this and focus on something else.
Yeah.
And then you never know, in 2025. Things could be booming again, and I feel like I can easily get back into a residency if I needed to.
I don't see it, you know. I don't see, like, the trend has just changed. The way people party, we say it so much now, like, the younger generation and the things that they do to entertain themselves, it's not about clubs. It's not about paying £10 every single week to get into a club, to then pay £4.50 for a drink, to then, and like, we have discussed this, the quality in the bar, the bar as in the goalpost, not the bar as in where you buy alcohol. The bar for DJs in a resident position is very, very low right now. Very substandard DJs are out there. And we have mentioned before, clubs have stopped caring about giving an experience. They just open their doors and like, right, come in, get smashed, get abused by a bouncer and get kicked out and banned for a month. And that's your experience now. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I fully understand why, generally speaking, the young population aren't into clubbing right now.
Yeah.
Because why? Like,
it's not fun, innit? It's just like,
I don't know, but this is the thing. When I think about it, I don't know if I think about it from the perspective of, I've been doing this a while. Do you know what I mean? I've been in the clubs for my entire career so far. And so, yeah, for me, a weekly club event is not exciting right now. Like, so maybe I think about it because I'm just a bit tired of it. But then I'm just like, no, I don't think it's not just that. It literally is that the generation of people that are of the clubbing age right now, they're just not interested because the experience isn't there. But like I say, I mean, we covered it in another episode, so we don't need to go too deep on it. But
do you think that it's also because there's actually more things to do now, isn't it? Like, I think, like, when we used to go out clubbing or whenever we used to go out, there wasn't that much to do. So then we'd go out to the clubs. But now there's brunches, there's events, there's so many different things to do now. The focus isn't going out to clubbing anymore.
Yeah, I think yes and no. I think the fact that brunches exist has split the demographic.
Yeah.
Generally, in some clubs, it's like clubs that I used to play in and stuff, you would see 18 to 38-year-olds. That whole 20-year age range would be in the club. The older lot might possibly be in like the cheesy room or the main room doing the house thing. And the younger lot generally were in like a curve room, for example, where they do the R&B. So the club would be split up into different demographics, but generally everyone was going to the club, especially in towns where there's not that many venues and the club is the final destination for everyone. But I don't know. I think it is a combination of, the older lot, they don't want to be in a club with the younger lot because it makes them feel old. And especially for the women, I don't like if you're a 35-year-old woman, do you want to be getting chatted up by 18-year-olds all night? I don't know. Some of them do, I can't lie, but generally probably not, especially if they're married and they just want to come out and have a vibes with the girls.
A
brunch is perfect because the younger lot are not generally going to the brunches because they're a little bit more expensive on the tickets and they're kind of more high end. Whereas the older people have a lot more dispensable income because they're settled in proper jobs and stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's a lot of factors. There are more things to do. The quality of clubs is quite low at the moment. The price of clubs is quite high at the moment. There's also, like we've said, there's a lot of pop-up events happening. Mm-hmm. One-off events that are way more exciting, where you buy a ticket and you look forward to that event.
Yeah, because it's your music taste normally, isn't it? Like an R&B event or a hip-hop
or
event,
house
or
event
like that.
Or drum and bass event, like all of this stuff. They're just the one-off monthly stuff seems to be where everyone is gravitating to and where all the excitement is.
Yeah, big facts.
But, I think we've said it before, guys. Like, if you're a resident DJ and things are looking bleak right now, Time to open up your brain a little bit and start the side hustle. The thing is, it doesn't even have to be like, oh shit, I can't be a DJ anymore. Now I've got to open a garage and be a mechanic. Like, use your skill set. Isn't it? Like, there's a million different things you could do with the skills that you picked up as a DJ. Even to a point of everybody knows people that are getting married, pick up some wedding bookings.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it is time to just diverse your DJ skills and career kind of thing. The clubs just ain't it anymore, man. Like, time to get out. If you have anything else that you're quite good at, put a bit of focus on that. And then hopefully next year, that could be your main source of income, or that could just be the main thing that you do. And then you could just DJ in the clubs every now and again. Like, I think now I've got one main residency, and that's monthly now, which is Brighton. And then I do the the university one as well, but I haven't got that many locked in for this term. But I'm not mad at it because I have other things going on.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I'm going to lose any of my DJ skills because I know I can just jump onto a DJ set and shed a set if I need to, innit? So, and I think a lot of DJs think like if they're not in the clubs, they're not going to be relevant. Now, some DJs might be like that because all they do is clubs. If they don't have any clubs, they won't get any content, and then they won't have anything to post.
Yeah.
And I think like they're scared to come out of that because they think they're going to not become relevant anymore. But make yourself known online. There's so many DJs now that are posting on TikTok and stuff are becoming even more relevant, and they're not even in the clubs.
Yeah, like, literally from your front room. I think what people are overlooking, and I emphasize this as much as I can, is like, attack your local market.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly think, like, right now, going viral is amazing. Getting a billion followers off of one video, cool. Mm-hmm. But it's an anomaly. It's not something that everyone can do. And if they can, there's no value in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that literally the task is right now, attack your local market.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a resident DJ, and you know you've been playing to 300 people every week for the last 2 years, and the club's not really cutting it for you anymore, it looks like the club's going down the pan, get those 300 people in your network right now. Start an event, get those 300 people. Even if one third of them buy a ticket, that's 100 people. One third's probably quite an optimistic amount. But what I'm saying is, like, now is the time to build. And if you want to stay in the club, start building your own thing.
Yeah, big facts. I think that's the thing this year, isn't it? Doing your own event. A lot of 100%. DJs are scared, but you ain't going to know until you do it. And you're not going to always have a successful event straight away. And even if you do have your first successful event, it's going to be hard to carry it on every month. Because people might come to your event the first time because it's something new, something exciting. The
excitement. Yeah.
But it's getting the continuous people to come every single month. Like, the same 300 people that come the first event might not necessarily come to the second one because they're like, oh, you know what? I can't afford it this month. Or it's the same kind of thing. They don't want to come to something the same in it. The reason why they came to the first one is because it's brand new and exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would just say, just DJs, try it and don't give up on the first hurdle. Just try and better it every single time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just set realistic goals as well. Like, literally set a realistic goal for your first event, start small, grow it from there. Yeah. And all the DJs that I see doing events right now, That's the blueprint. They're starting small, yeah. And over time, their events are huge now.
Yeah,
literally. They've been doing them for like 2-3 years.
Yeah, start with like 100, 150 capacity venue.
Yeah.
And then slowly graduate. Don't jump, like, don't go in too hard kind of thing. Pause. But but like if you sold at the 150 one, don't necessarily think you can go to 350 straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe do a second 151.
Do a couple and see also build the demand, innit? You gotta build the demand and build the hype.
Yeah, you gotta start having people in your DMs like, oh, the ticket sold out, and you need to have loads of that so people have that FOMO. So next time when the tickets are there, they're gonna be there straight ready for the ticket drop. So then the people that missed out will get the first batch. And then the people that came last time will get the second one, and it will sell out even quicker, innit? Like, I say this like I've done this before, but sometimes it's kind of just common sense, innit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to some people, it's not. Some people actually don't understand that's how they should do it. Especially if you're DJing in like a 500 or 600 capacity club every week. Suddenly going to 100 or 150 sounds like you're downgrading.
Yeah.
But actually, you might have been doing 600 people and getting £200 or 250 for the set.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to 150 and you're getting every single penny from the door money.
Yeah.
So with 150 people in your room, or even just 100 people in your room, you're going to make more money, even if you only charge £3 per person.
Yeah.
You're collecting more money from the door. Yeah, it is more work, obviously. You can't just turn up and play. But anything worth having, it's like some old proverb or something, but anything worth having is not light work. Like, it's going to be hard work. Yeah, it's going to be a graft, man. But
big facts.
Yes, yeah, indeed. So this week, anyway, I put a thing out on the Instagram about this was what was it? It was DJ Audio One, who's a regular listener. Big up yourself, sir. He messaged me. Let me find the message because I don't even want to paraphrase at this point. And I'm so sorry. It wasn't Audio One. Big up Audio One though, but it was DJ Indie actually that said this. Big up DJ Indy, sorry man. when did he first see? I think when we were talking about intro edits, you know, and how it's funny when someone reloads an intro edit. He messaged me and about that episode, and he said, "Your latest episode is the truth. I heard a DJ while I was off who used an intro edit of Tupac, Hit 'Em Up." And then literally I replied and I was like, I just replied in this week's episode of DJ Sins, and then that was it. Boom, that gave me the idea. I was like, DJ Sins, that's the content for this week. So shouts to DJ Indy as well. Like, he's a super nice guy. I met him a few times, but yeah, big up DJ Indy for inspiring me on this one. So just to kick off, playing an intro version, as in an 8-bar instrumental intro to Tupac, Hit 'Em Up, in any capacity, any situation ever, is wrong.
I'm just trying to think. You need to drop that straight.
Just like, just Tupac at the start. That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker.
Literally. Like,
how can you not start a song like that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, literally, that's normally my transition track to go from one tempo of, like, as in, say if I'm at 70 and I want to, again, I don't know the tempo, is the tempo of Hit 'Em Up, I want to say it's 90 something.
Yeah, is that 96, I think?
Yeah, 96. Okay. So if I want to go from, say, 70 to that, what I'll normally do is echo it out or reverb it out, give a little bit of silence, and you just drop Tupac's bit. everyone goes mad. So yeah, an intro version of that just ain't it, man. But yeah, that's
imagine reloading it. Everyone's going, but, going mad. Yeah. And then you reload Tupac, Hit 'Em Up. And it's for 30 seconds before Tupac says anything.
Yeah, ain't it, man.
Intro version must literally just start with, first off, fuck it. Like, it doesn't, won't even have the little, If I'm ever in a club and a DJ plays an intro version of Hit 'Em Up, I am going to Hit 'Em Up. You're getting punched up. No, I won't. If I'm drunk, I probably will now. But you can't do that. So anyway, it was in DJ Indy. He inspired me to do this. So I posted out on the talk over Instagram about DJ Sins. Now, I did this deliberately, yeah? When I did, a show for Harlem Eubank a little while ago. I did his, I DJed for his boxing match and like the whole night. And I took my decks and the DJ booth was only big enough for the mixer and one deck.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a DJ show, innit? It was just like in between music and single songs. So I wasn't, I didn't need a full setup. But anyway, there was no space for me to put a drink that I had. I think it was, it was like a Red Bull or a Pepsi or something. I can't remember. And so I actually put it on my deck, on the vinyl, because there was nowhere else to put it. There was literally, it's like, it's going on the floor. Am I putting it on the floor? I'm going to kick it over.
Mm.
So I just put it, and momentarily I put it down on my deck here, yeah, on the vinyl.
Mm.
And I took a photo of it because I knew I could trigger some people with it. And then that was the background that I put. When I posted up the Tell Me About DJ Sins, that photo was the background that I put. And DJ Tars, his first response was, the background picture is the biggest sin.
Yeah, bro.
And then someone else today actually sent me a photo of a clip from James Hype's Instagram. And there's a drink on one of the decks, literally on the platter.
Oh, is that one of his spare decks?
One of the 18 decks that he has. but yeah, it got me thinking. It was like, yeah, that is a legit one, actually. Having a drink on top of the DJ equipment. I only did it, first of all, because it was my equipment. Secondly, so I could take a picture of it and piss people off with it, because I knew it would. But yeah, where do you put your drinks on the deck? Have you ever, or do you ever put your drinks on the deck?
I think I've done it for a piss take and took a picture of it, but maybe not put it on social, maybe put it in a DJ group.
Right, but okay, yeah.
My drink is always to the side. There was once where I spilled drink Desperados all over my DJ controller once.
And you spilled it?
I spilled it, yeah. So I have to DJ the rest of the night with... I think it was a right deck that was just malfunctioning. It was mad. Like the BPM on Sarai was just going up, down, up, down.
Oh, it was
crazy, man. So yeah, so the drinks now, I have PTSD from that. So like my drink is to the left, but it's nice and far away from the desk. If I do spill it, it just goes on the side. If there's no space, it's going on the floor. It's going somewhere else. Yeah, I'd rather kick it over than pour it over my decks and go through that stress again.
Yeah, it is. I think it's one of them things where like you don't learn until you learn.
Yeah, big facts.
You're going to learn today. I've had it actually. If I remember correctly, a DJ. So like when I've done in the past bits and other DJs are playing as well. If they're on, I think this was kind of pre-controller era. The mixer and the two CDJs were next to the mixer. And obviously I would use turntables. So I would set my turntables on the outside of the CDJs.
Mm.
I had them modified so that they were easy and quick to just plug in. And there wasn't like crazy amounts of wires. And before phase as well. So I had to plug them into the mixer. Mm. I've had that when my decks have been set up on the outside of the CDJs. And another DJ has rested their drink on top of my decks.
Yeah. Right. I'm fine, bro.
I didn't fight. But they did get told off. I did question them quite angrily about what the fuck are you doing? And yeah, move the drink. But it is a sin, I can't lie, and I did it. But yeah. I like this one. Never play music from the act on after you.
Oh yeah, facts. Like if you're doing a show for say, I don't know, Western, you're not gonna play Western songs before they come on, are you?
That was such a random act to just draw for like that. I like it. It was out of the box, but it was so random.
Hailey sent me a dub the other day, so I just had it. I have it
in
my head.
Oh, okay. Sick. Yeah, sick. Fair.
But yeah, like, that is common sense. Now, some DJs might go on autopilot, because if, say, for example, Into is one of their warm-up songs, they might just accidentally play it just because they're on autopilot, but... It is common sense not to play the act song. Now, if you do, you're an idiot.
Yeah. just unpacking what you said then. I get why people do it sometimes, but I think autopilot for DJs is also a sin.
Yeah. Is it a sin or is it just?
I think it's a sin. I go on autopilot sometimes. If I'm absolutely knackered, my day starts at 6:30 in the morning. If I don't get to sleep before the club, by 3 in the morning, I'm pretty fucking tired.
Yeah.
So I do switch into autopilot occasionally. I don't think it's right to, though. Yeah, I do think, like, as a DJ, I think focus should be on all the time and we should be constantly selecting and challenging and just, do you know what I mean? I don't think it should just be, I've got this song on, I know what's next.
Tiredness, bro. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The tiredness is there, but also, like, I'm a culprit of this, but I think that again is something that affects and has affected the quality of DJs. Because we're turning up to the club tired as fuck. We're meant to be the life and soul of the party. If we're not blasting the energy out to the room, where's it coming from? Because it ain't us. Yeah, and I've noticed when I'm more energetic and when I'm more in the vibe and loving it, it's infectious, bro. Like, everyone else does it. We've all been to that club where that miserable guy is stood behind the decks looking like he hates life.
Yeah.
We've all been there and we've all thought, bro, why don't you just fucking quit, man?
It gets like that, man. Like, especially, but how do you overcome that? Because if you're a busy DJ, how are you overcoming this tiredness and not going into autopilot, bro?
Well, I don't have the answer for that yet because I am in that stage as well. Like, like, as a parent / DJ, I'm up at 6:30 in the morning to get the child ready for school. I'm doing the school run. I have a busy day of things to do. And if I have a club booking that night, when the child gets back from school, I'm doing the parent stuff until bedtime. And then more times I have to then leave for the club. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I might, Tuesday, for example, this is quite a good example of this. That exact thing happened and I had a 15 minute window to sleep. So I lay down on my bed, I covered my eyes so it was pitch black and I didn't sleep. I wasn't able to get sleep because I had so much other stuff going on and my alarm went off 15 minutes later and I got up, got in the shower, got dressed, went to the club.
Yeah, see, if I got 15 minutes, man, I ain't trying to sleep, man. Because me, I'll get back. I won't be able to sleep because I'll be paranoid I won't wake up.
Yeah. I mean... I always set alarms and I'm used to it now, innit? I can do the 10-minute sleep thing. That's not a problem. But this time I couldn't switch off. My brain was all over the place thinking about things because I've got ideas and ventures coming out of everywhere at the moment. So, but yeah, that was, and by the end of my set, I was fucking exhausted, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, guess I am.
Like, so I don't have the answer to the tiredness, but yeah, I do think autopilot is something DJs should avoid. Going back to the actual bit, never play music from the act on after you. Yeah. Do you know how many times I've seen this now as a tour DJ as well? Even happened on New Year's Eve. We played at this, at a drum and bass and bass event. And there was three different drum and bass DJs on before us. RD has a really big record with Chasing Status. It was in the charts. It was in like top 20 and stuff called Liquor and Cigarettes. Every single one of the DJs before us, so for 3 hours, at least once, that song got played.
That's crazy, man.
Before RD comes out to perform. So, and bear in mind as well, these were not local warm-up DJs. The guy before us was Andy C. He's a drum and bass legend, bro. Like, very nice guy as well. I actually met him face-to-face for the first time on New Year's Eve. Super nice guy. Like, drum and bass legend. But yeah, he played RD's record 20 minutes, maybe even like 10 minutes before. Yeah, in fact, was I on the stage when he played it? I was on the stage when he played it. So I was setting up and I set up 15 minutes before we started.
Yeah.
So 15 minutes before RD starts his set, he played it. And I did fit in my head. I thought, it's a bit weird that you would play this knowing that RD's on next. But then again, our performance happened. The crowd went absolutely sick. Did they care that they've heard this for the fourth time now and Artie's performing it? Maybe not. But
it depends, innit? It depends. Like, if it's an artist that, I don't know, maybe not a bit self-conscious is the wrong word, but maybe they might get a bit hurt by it, innit? Because they want the actual first reaction in it. If someone's played it before, it's not going to get that same buzz. It's like that whole warm-up DJ main set thing, innit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I am hugely on. Do not play the artist or producer, if it's a if I'm DJing somewhere and James Hype's next, I'm not gonna run a bunch of James Hype edits and productions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like Nathan Dore, I'm not playing Nathan Dore's tunes before, if I'm on the set before him, or even if we're on the same lineup, unless the grand exception to this, unless it's a festival.
Okay.
If it's a festival, as long as they're not the act after you, that's cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Festivals have quite a big turnover of people, like they're all cycling around and all sorts. And if I'm on the same festival as Nathan Dore, but I'm on 3 hours before him, by the time he comes on, everyone's forgotten the fact that I played it. Do you know what I mean? Like just stuff like that, or any act, to be honest. But in a festival setting, it could actually be used. Imagine you're doing a festival and 50 Cent's on later, but he's not on for another like 4 hours because you're doing it earlier. You drop Many Men.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You can. Don't do 50 Cent's whole discography, but you can hype it as in who's ready for 50 Cent.
Yeah, drop his tune.
This is my favorite 50 Cent song. Boom, Many Men. That's going off. Yeah. More times, 50 Cent won't even be within the perimeter. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to be even at the festival yet. So like those times, I do think it's okay as long as he's not next. Imagine you're playing your last song and 50 Cent's on next and you play Many Men. Oh yeah, my word, you're getting smashed to bits. Pause.
He's going. I think whenever there's an act on after me, I have so much anxiety that I'm going to play their song or mess up. So I just don't. I don't know how anyone can accidentally maybe play their song. Me, I'm so anxious when there's an act on before me, I'm not fully relaxed in it because I'm like, so what I normally do, say for example, again, random, you've got Young Bane on as the act. Yeah. I'll go through, highlight all of Young Bane's tracks and mark them red on Serato. So I know not to play them.
that's quite a good idea. So I think sometimes you overlook or forget that's who the artist is sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like you just know, right, I know this tune is like, I guess it's semi autopilot-ish, but I know this tune's gonna go off. Let me just play it because I always play this at this time. And then you've played Fine Wine.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't. But you cannot play that. Like maybe one of his like lesser known tunes from one of his mixtapes, his EP, whatever. But you can't play Fine Wine.
Yeah,
you can't play Fine Wine. You can't do that. But yeah, so for me, I just make sure because I have very bad memory. Right. And I think that's why my anxiety kicks in. So I'm like, oh my God, what if I completely forget that bloody Young Bane's on? So that's why I highlight the tracks because you see the red track and you look at the track, you're like, why is that red? Oh, yeah. It kind of just triggers your brain a bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, that makes sense. There's quite the visual cues on Serato are quite helpful, actually.
Yeah, facts.
Crash DJ says one of the sins is hitting on the promoter's girlfriend. I wonder if he's actually booked a DJ and that's happened to him or if he's done that. I wonder what provoked him to say that, hitting on the promoter's DJ, the girlfriend, sorry.
He's either one or two things, all right? That's either happened to him, because he wouldn't put that up if he was the one hitting on the promoter's girlfriend. So he must have been a promoter and then his girlfriend got hit up. Or he's watched one of my videos on my YouTube channel and he's taken the context out of one of them and putting that there.
Oh, okay.
I've got a story, which I'm not going to go into on the pod, but long story short, I was talking to the promoter's sister. So,
okay, right.
Yeah.
Has he ever booked you since?
No, so there's a whole video on it on my YouTube. It's called "I Lost My DJ Residency," and so I don't know because the Crash DJ he does follow me, and he's a massive supporter of the YouTube channel.
Oh, 100%. Then that's 100% why he said it. Yeah, it's probably. I mean, sister. I mean, hitting on their girlfriend is probably worse than hitting on their sister.
Yeah. Just don't do it, man. Just don't do it. If the girlfriend's moving to you, different. But you can't purposely go out of your way.
Yeah, but even then, even if I was booked by a promoter and their missus was hitting on me, I would feel very uncomfortable, man.
Yeah, but you might not even know. She could just be a random girl in the club.
To be honest, yeah, I'm the most like, I'm a bit of a weirdo in the club. I think girls probably think I'm a bit weird when I'm DJing, you know, because I don't give them attention if I'm DJing. Like if I'm, like not even, we're not even talking. We're not, I'm probably not even making eye contact because I am fully in the bubble.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like when I was single, cool. If I wasn't DJing, I'll entertain a conversation, maybe a little flirt, whatever. But nah, if I'm actually on job DJing, no way.
Yeah, literally. Some girls will think you're rude or what's the word I got called the other
day? Obnoxious.
Yeah, stuck up.
Yeah.
Because literally she was trying to talk to me and I'm just like, I'm busy. Oh, you think you're too good? No, I'm working. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just like, literally trying to focus on some shit right now. Like
this what I'm saying. If you've got time to chirps in the club, yeah, you ain't working properly, man.
Either that or your Riz game is amazing. imagine you can chat up a girl and like secure a girl, it sounds so bad, but you know what I mean. Within the space of the next track, I mix quite quickly, you know.
You know, you got 45 seconds.
Especially when it's a guest set, songs aren't running for more than 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You think in 90 seconds I've got the power to chat up a girl?
You never know, man. Some people.
No way. I haven't got those skills. I have to rely on my good looks. DJ Jordana, I once heard Drip Too Hard. This is not a real.
Oh, it's Jordan A.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm reading actually. Big up Jordan. Big up Jordan A. Sorry, Jordana, it says. But Jordan A, I once heard Drip Too Hard at 174 BPM.
See, that's crazy because, hang on.
I refuse to believe. He's counting it twice as fast. He surely means 87.
Hmm.
Because.
Yeah, he must be. No, because some DJs, so I don't know how you have your BPMs, but you know the 62. So my Drip Too Hard is around about 61 or 62 BPM, maybe. But some DJs will have it as some DJs will have it as 124.
Drip Too Hard's like 56 BPM.
Okay, maybe that's a wrong example then. 58.
One second.
Wait, what's this?
Yeah, 57 BPM. So some people would count that as 114 BPM, but it's that slow, wavy type hip hop. So I always have it at like the, I think I count from kick drums, isn't it? So it's 50, for me, it's like 56, 57.
Hang on.
So he must mean. Did your headphones click out again?
Yeah, my bad.
He must mean 87 BPM.
He's definitely looking at Serato.
Yeah, so if he's got Drip Too Hard at 114, then he's looking at it as 174. But in my brain, it's 56 or 57.
Mm.
So he means 87, sorry. But even that, 30 BPMs, 30 beats per minute more. Mm. Like, there is definitely a thing. Bro, that's like plus 65%.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
On a normal turntable, yeah, it goes up to plus 8%.
Mm.
Plus 65%.
Yeah, so in Serato, you can obviously change the thing so it goes, like, you can
That's the sync button that's doing that, you know?
Nah, because you can press, because on CDJs,
no DJ that can mix, sorry to cut you here, no DJ that can mix is bumping a tune up that fast to mix.
Yeah,
that's a sync button thing. That's a DJ who uses sync and is going purely off track selection, not thinking. Do you remember that? There was a viral video that went from last to Pop Smoke Dior.
Yeah. It was a girl
running
in
Dior
it.
At like 90 BPM. That's and that the mix worked in terms of being in time, but it didn't work sonically because Dior is not a fucking drum and bass song. She loves the way to dance. She loves the way to move. She loves the way. Like, it's not a drum and bass song. So yeah, but drip too hard at 87 is there needs to be. Have you ever pulled a DJ up for playing a song way too fast?
No, I haven't been in a situation too much where I'm in a lineup with multiple DJs. And normally when I go, I'm silent as hell, just scoping out the room. Just like getting myself ready for the set. Like, if they want to play these songs at X amount of speed and chipmunk, whatever, that's their business, bro. Like, they do what they need to do.
Yeah. No, I'm not with it, brother. I'll be entirely honest with you. If it's an absolutely wild one, like, what did I hear? I think I heard Beanie Man, Who Am I, at like 112 BPM or something.
Yeah,
once.
that's mad, considering that's what? Is that 89 or 90?
89, yeah.
Yeah.
And is. Like, yeah, so there's two things I do. I'll give them a speeding ticket on my Instagram story. So I'll tag them and post them on my Insta and tell them, yeah, you've got a speeding ticket. And like, it's just for banter, innit? I know I'm not the BPM police, but the other thing is, if I do think it is at a point where actually the crowd notice and they're like, what is this? I'll tell the DJ.
Yeah,
I will tell him. I'll be like, bro, this is you're playing it way too fast. You need to slow it down a little bit.
It's normally the dancehall DJ.
I knew you were gonna say that. I was gonna interrupt you and say you're gonna say dancehall DJs. I knew you were gonna say that.
It's normally the dancehall DJs that are used to playing in the dancehall events that come out and maybe do like a hip hop and R&B. Because they keep their tempo lock off and they're so used to the like speeding up the track so much like that. And you just can't take it from the, like in dancehall, fair play, do your thing, because that's what they do in it. But taking
it. Even in dancehall, when I hear, I'm not a fan of hearing it. I heard Skeng at like 115 BPM the other day with the key lock off. Yeah. And the pitch of the voice was so high. Bro, I don't like it. It's a personal preference. But I understand culturally, that's a thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
saying dancehall, I'm not going to turn around and tell the whole of dance. Who am I to say it? Do you know what I mean? The whole dancehall culture. You can't play songs that far. Like, no, it's the cultural thing. I do get that it's a cultural thing. Personal preference, I don't like it. So you won't find me running dancehall at crazy tempos when I play dancehall. Tell me I'm playing it wrong. Whatever, cool. I'm playing it in my style. Do you know what I mean? I still don't like squeezing it way too much. But yeah, I agree with you. It does tend to be the guys who grew up playing dancehall that then spread out to other genres and start doing a hip-hop set. And now you've got fucking...
Yeah, when I'm hearing like R&B tracks and like, it's like old school R&B tracks and you're hearing Chipmunk. I'm just like, turn key up. I think I put a tweet out the other day, innit? It's like, in 2024, turn key lock on. Just turn it on.
That improves it slightly. The fact that the key lock's on, so the voice isn't high pitched anymore. That improves it slightly. But still, no one wants to hear the song 25 BPM faster than it's made. Like, I get making it faster to get through genres and stuff, but like, yeah, some people take the piss. Some people take the piss. And yeah, if we're on the same lineup and you're doing it and I think it's affecting the crowd, I'll be honest, I'm telling you. DJ Pinks said the DJs know what a sin is. Maybe that's a reflection on the scene right now. JSG the DJ says loaning out headphone adapters. Nah, that's not a sin. That's loaning out the headphone adapter is not a sin. That is the opposite, actually. That is you're that's you see you're you're next to the river and there's someone out there and they're drowning and you're just walking a dog and you could just be like, ah, oh, fuck that guy. He shouldn't be swimming there anyway. Mm. Nah, you know what? I'm running up, I'm grabbing the big orange ring and I'm lobbing it out to them and I'm saving their life and I'm pulling them back in. See that headphone adapter, if you have it spare?
Mm.
That's the orange ring, my friend. That is a life jacket right there.
Do you know what? I've never really had the problem of the needing a headphone adapter, but that was back in when you need. I don't know what mixer it was. Is it the 800?
Yeah. So what? It's a big one, a quarter inch jack. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think since the 900 Nexus and the Nexus 2 and all the other mixers, they all have both slots now.
Yeah.
And all controllers have the 3.5mm jack and the big jack as well.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like this is a sin no more because no one needs it. Doesn't it's not a thing anymore, is it?
However, if it's communal equipment, so if you've got a bro, do you know how many times I've turned up to play on a 900 plugged and because I use in-ears, they have this small, they've got the mini adapter, mini jack, sorry, and I'll plug it in and it's all crackly. Because it's such a small component and DJs are in and out and in and out and pause all the time. One day I'm going to do a pause compilation. But and the tiny little component gets fried so quick, bro. And then I turn out and it's all crackly. So I actually keep a big adapter with me that I can then plug. Because the bigger ones seem to be more robust.
Yeah, see, I think for my in-ears, I don't know if they gave me an adapter with it or I just bought one, but I do have both. But you don't really hear about the DJ adapter thing anymore these days because
that's a lie because I lent one out the other day.
Oh, really?
Was playing somewhere and the DJ from the other room was like, bro, do you have a headphone adapter? And it was for exact same reason, the mixer in his room, the mini jack, it was fucked.
So
he had to use the big one, but he only had a small jack. But I said to him, so here's where I disagree with JSG, loaning out is not the sin. Not giving it back is the sin.
It's the sin.
See if a DJ lends you that adapter, saves your life, and you don't, even if you forget and it's innocent, if you don't give it back at the end of the set, I hope you stub your toe every single morning. To all the people that do that, I hope you stub your toe every day when you get out of bed, because that is a horrible thing to do. That's the sin, not giving the adapter back. Because that is a life-saving piece of equipment. So, side note to everyone that doesn't have an adapter, get on Amazon right now, because we all know you're too lazy to walk to the shop. Get on Amazon right now and order a pack of three or four of them and keep two in your bag at all times. And if you lose one, get another one and put it in your bag. They are absolutely essential. I'm not really going to expand. I'm not going to expand on this one that much. But Slay IG says the DJ sin. Should I even read this out loud? Sleeping with girls you meet at the club.
Just leave that as a sin.
I would not recommend doing it at the club. That's all I'm saying. At least take them to your house. And consent is sexy, gentlemen. Remember that and play it safe as well. Always wear your hat. But I'm not a single guy, so I would say definitely that is problematic for me. It is definitely a sin if I was to do that. But yes, I'll leave you lot to discuss that with your close friends and your WhatsApp groups, sleeping with girls in the club. DJ Harney said redlining is a DJ sin. I quite like that one.
Do you know what, right? I don't think redlining is a sin, right? I don't think, because the thing is, you can redline and things still be fine. And I don't know, maybe I'm gonna get cussed for this, right?
They're coming for you, bro.
I don't care, because the thing is, if it there's so many things that could, for example, you could be redlining, but in the background the engineer might have turned it down, so it's not actually affecting anything.
So now, go on.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really think I can expand on it too much. But I think this whole redlining thing. Oh, what's the, actually no. That's if you're not redlining, you're headlining. Sorry,
Are you the
that's
headline if you don't redline? I think that's what it is. I think it was a piss take. So, all right, I'll be honest here. I'll make a bit of a confession. I am not 100% certain about the detrimental effects of constantly redlining from the mixer. I don't actually know how bad that is and how badly it affects the output of modern mixers. I do
Same.
think it's a slightly old school frame of mind, but at the same time, when you think about it, it can't be good if you're, if you know the lights where the dials are that go up and down when the music pumps, yeah? If they never move and the top two red lights are always on, you're pushing it too hard. That
Bro, so
you're what you're doing right there is you're driving your car on the motorway in first gear, and the rev limiter is going, and it wants you to change gear. Yeah, that's the equivalent. Like, you're going and you're moving down the motorway, cool, but you're gonna mess up the engine. Eventually, the engine's giving up because it can't be driven that hard for that long pause.
Yeah, like if it keeps saying, you know, because obviously they got the clip button, the clip thing as well. If it keeps clipping at the top as well, bro. Yeah, like you said, I don't know the ins and outs of the whole what it does. Obviously, if you're an audio technician, yeah, you're gonna be like, oh, you can't get in the red line, whatever. But it ain't gonna be that bad. If you're, I think some DJs will just keep themselves in the like the grit, well, the green or the orange, and if it even goes into the red slightly. They're turning it down because they're worried. If it dips into the red every now and again, don't matter.
Especially when you're mixing, if you've got two songs going out at the same time, naturally, if you've got the mixer up at any decent volume, like the output from the mixer, naturally, when there's two songs running, it is going to clip into the red. Touching into the red every now and then, or just like every snare or every kick just going up into the red, as long as it's coming back down into orange or green, I don't think that is a problem. But the problem is, the other problem is people don't realize that the master output is the volume of the mixer. The gain above each channel is not technically volume, if that makes sense. Like, it's a way to adjust the level and make sure the songs are coming out at the same. So if you're
Same.
mixing from one song to another, if they're mastered differently, or if for some reason one's not mixed down correctly or whatever, you can pitch it up a bit volume wise so that it doesn't dip down and sound quieter than the last song.
Do you know a lot of DJs listening to that right now are gonna not have a clue what you're talking about? Because Serato has auto gain on
Right, yeah, okay. So
so
Jeremy, again, it's another like, I mean, I grew up in vinyl days, innit? I started DJing on vinyl, so this was how I learned. And I think, you know what? It's probably a matter of time until the mixers don't even have the gain knob anymore.
It'll just be
Some
it'll just
mixers, I
fall.
think some mixers don't even have them. It'd just be mid, low, mid, and top EQs.
Yeah, I think
But
like I think I noticed it when I started because I started using USBs properly because obviously I came in on Serato and then when I went back and started getting myself prepared for USBs, that's when I noticed the hole that I needed to use the gain because you don't have auto gain on the CDJs. So I'm playing tracks and I'm mixing tracks and it's coming through and I can't hear the mix and it's like you need to adjust the trims, you need to adjust it. But some DJs don't know about that. Some DJs will literally keep the trims at 12 o'clock the whole time and won't even move them because Serato is doing all the work for them.
There's the other DJs that think the gain has to be fully up, all the way up, right to the top, just to get any sound out the mixer. And again, they're the sinful ones. They're the guys that are sitting just with the red lights on completely. And maybe in the instances and the rare occasions where the club or venue has a sound engineer and everything's running through a separate mixing desk that the engineer then can control, maybe that's not such an issue. But I do think running constant red lines from the mixer, it's not good for the sound quality. But again, a lot of DJs don't give a shit about the sound quality. Them same guys are probably playing YouTube rips. And even me mentioning it now, they're like, so what's wrong with playing a YouTube rip? know what I mean? Like, people don't have the understanding behind musical science is completely gone. And I'll be real, I don't have a full scope of the understanding. Do you know what I mean? I just know the difference between a mastered song and a non-mastered song. And I know the difference between a mastered song and a YouTube rip. And I can hear the difference, but not everybody can.
Now, all you need to know, if you don't know anything, is like, just make sure that you've got 320 KBS music for your MP3, and you're quite safe-ish.
You've got a whole community of people right now Googling, what is 320 KBS? What does that mean? Even then, some songs from, if I'm buying MP3s, of songs so that I have them to DJ with, I will generally get them from Amazon Music. Shameless plug. And not all of them are 320s.
Okay.
It's mad. Like, it's actually mad. Some of them are 256, some of them are 128. Do you know what I mean? Like, is it 128?
Yeah, 128. Yeah,
it'll be 196? Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember the different scales.
There's 128, 192. 256, 320.
Yeah, 320. So, like, even buying the actual song, sometimes it's not the full bitrate. But, and again, going back to the state of clubs these days, a lot of high street clubs especially have shit sound systems.
Facts.
So, bro, it doesn't even matter if Drake's personal engineer hand delivers you the song that he's just mixed down for Drake. If you rip it off YouTube, it's going to sound exactly the same in some of these clubs. Do you know what I mean? So, the redlining thing, I mean, going into the red line occasionally is cool. It's not really an issue at all. But if the red lights on the mixer never, ever go off, you are doing something wrong. And it is a DJ sin. Shouts to my bro, John Boy. I don't know who he's aimed this at. It ain't me. No farting in the DJ booth. If it happens and you get caught, don't deny it.
You know what? Right. I cannot fart in a DJ booth because you don't know if it's gonna smell or not. That's why I don't fart in a DJ booth. I'm like, that's just purely me. Like, you can't be farting in a DJ booth, man. It's long.
I'm not even gonna say that I've never done it because I 100% have, but you know how risky it is doing that? And then someone comes up to request a song.
Yeah, because it's the moment you fart, yeah. So you're like, you're toying with the idea and no one comes up. As soon as you fart, bro, everyone comes up to the DJ booth.
I love the fact you said you're toying with the idea. Like, we're standing there considering our body movements and like, oh, should I looking about, like, is anyone near? Is anyone coming over? Should I just let this one go?
Yeah, because you're sitting there, you're like, oh, you know what? Just in case someone comes along, man, you better not do it. So you're toying with the idea for about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, yeah? No one comes up. You fart. People come up to the booth. Oh, can I request a song? And 9 times out of 10, so my old DJ booth I used to be in, I'm a little bit elevated.
Into the cloud.
Literally, their head height is where my waist is at, right? So they walk straight into it. So when you fart, it's long. Someone's coming out to the DJ booth, you're like, oh, fuck.
Man. Imagine as well, this makes it 10 times worse. Because it's a loud environment, people will speak louder. And generally, when you speak louder, you take a deep breath before you talk. Someone's coming up to request a song and they're like, I think the worst one is it's like, this has definitely happened before, and I was a little bit embarrassed because I was like, man, like, I hope she just doesn't think I stink. But it was unavoidable one, and it happened, and then one of the barmaids came to the DJ booth to say hi. And like, it's a girl, like, you know, you chat to like the staff every week or whatnot, and you're friendly and you're cool. And then she come over, like, she might not be that busy, or she might be on a break or whatever. She's come over just to chat and say hi. And literally it was like, let it go like 10 seconds ago. And now she's come over to say hi. And now it's like, can she smell it? Does she think it's me? Does she not realize it's a fart? Does she just think I stink? Like,
But then you get paranoid. You're like, did she smell it? Did she not say anything? Did they not spend it? So then you're paranoid for the next half an hour.
Yeah, innit? And then like the week after, she just doesn't even chat to you anymore. Now you're, oh, mate. Yeah, I shouldn't have eaten that Burger King before work. So yeah, if you can get away with it, big up John Boy. Oh, congratulations to John Boy as well. He's a good friend of the podcast, actually. He's been on and done a very, very sick episode during lockdown, actually, which we focused on alcoholism and drug abuse in the DJ world. And John Boy actually spits some fucking gems in that episode. So guys, if you haven't heard that one, make sure you go back and listen to it, because we don't spend an hour and a half talking about farts in the DJ booth. It's actually, that is, to be honest, that's one of my favorite episodes that I ever recorded with John Boy. So yeah, that's a good one. And yeah, John Boy just landed the Ibiza Rocks residency for the summer. Yeah, very, very sick. He did they did a competition.
Oh yeah, I see that.
And his entry was hard, man. So yeah, proper sick DJ, John Boy. Big up yourself, brother. Daniel James says, I would score with someone called Daniel James. Daniel James says, oh, this sounds like, I feel bad for him, man. It sounds like this happened. Taking other DJs' residencies, especially if they're friends.
So, right, hang on.
Stab wounds.
Nah, but like, okay, let's dissect that, because how is someone taking your residency?
There's a number of ways it can happen, to be honest. Now, there's two ways. There's the sinful way and there's the not sinful way. Mm-hmm. Now, the sinful way is you've got your residency and someone takes your residency. As in, they approach the manager and they're like, you know what? I can do it better, cheaper. Because I'll be real, if you're a good DJ and you're holding it down, the only way you're losing a residency by someone taking it from you is if the money goes down for that. If they turn up, and this happens, it happens a lot. If you're undercut and the DJ says, yeah, I can do this, but I can do it cheaper. If the club's struggling, if the manager's not really switched on to DJing and whatnot, and wants to, you know, he's got his boss's boots on his neck and he's got to cut the overheads and whatnot, he might go with a cheaper DJ. Approaching a club and poaching somebody's work is a DJ sin, and you should be punished by having your hands cut off.
Yeah, big facts. Like, I don't know, it seems weird to me, because every single residency I have, I'm really close with the manager. So like, obviously some DJs might not be. So anytime someone has come up and tried to do anything, my manager's coming straight to me and be like, I can't, like, can you believe someone just came up and tried to do it? You know what I mean? Like, that's why it seems weird to me. That's why I said, like, how is someone taking that? Do you know what I mean? But I guess there are some DJs that, like, they maybe just don't get along with the manager, or they just go there. Maybe, I don't know. It sounds weird to me. Like, how is someone coming in? Like, I'm DJing there every day, every week, every Saturday. Then what, the week after? Now you're not DJing anymore. There's someone else that's come in. And my friend as well.
Yeah, bro. It happens. It genuinely happens. I think, like, one key thing you said there is you get on with the manager. And that's something that I have, not even to make sure the job's secure, but just to make the whole work experience more pleasant. Making friends with the manager is actually a really smart thing to do from a DJ perspective. But it actually means you've got friends in the building.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's someone like, I quite like, occasionally I'll turn up an hour early. The club's dead because it's like, you know, it might have only just opened, or it might have only been open for an hour. The manager might be just chilling in the office waiting for the building to fill up. Just go and catch up, man. It's actually quite nice to have a catch up with someone that's on the same body clock as you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just to talk shit. Just talk about life. Talk about what sports you like. And so, do you know what I mean? Just actually have a catch up, non-work related. Like that in itself is great. But from the business perspective, it's a smart move making friends with the guy that's running the building.
Yeah.
The person whose decision it is that you get replaced or not is probably the guy that you want on your team.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like I say, there's multiple reasons why I will make friends with the managers, but generally it makes the whole DJ experience a lot nicer. And having job security and not the anxiety of shit any week now, I could lose the job. I had two, there's two situations I can talk on about this actually. One of them was very, very early in my career. A friend of mine was DJing. He was a slightly older DJ. And he was DJing at a bar slash club. And basically what happened was the bar slash club didn't like his DJing. And there was a lot of trouble. And I think, you know, the owners and stuff always, or the whoever's in charge, always points a finger at the DJ if there's constant trouble every week. They don't look at the fact, okay, well, let's stop letting dickheads in. It's like, oh, you're playing music that's riling people up and they're fighting. Mm. So the DJ generally in these situations get chopped off. Pause. and basically what happened was the person in charge, I think he was the manager, I don't think he was the owner, contacted me and was like, look, such and such is going to be leaving. I want you to DJ. Mm-hmm. Now, basically, I contacted the other DJ and said, I've been offered your job. Like, they've told me they're going to get rid of you. I've been offered it. And he was like, he was pissed, basically. And I think because he hadn't been told that he was losing it and he found out through me.
Yeah.
He actually, funnily enough, stopped talking to me after that. And I think he was under the impression that I poached the job. Now, I didn't poach the job at all. And I actually, my response to the manager was, if I don't take this job, what happens?
Yeah.
And then he gave me a list of names of other DJs from the town that he was going to offer it to, but he came to me first. Yeah. So regardless of my answer, my friend was getting sacked.
Yeah.
It was beneficial to me to take the spot, because it was the hottest hip-hop club in the town at the moment. Do you know what I mean? So, like, regardless of whether I took it or not, my friend is getting cut.
He's getting sacked.
I do understand, like, the loyalty side of it, of like, oh, they've done your friend. They haven't done him dirty. They've made a business move that's just not been detrimental to him. So they haven't snaked him. They've made a business decision to choose a new music supplier. My business is in the scope now. They want me. Okay, cool. It benefits me. If I don't take it, my friend was getting dropped anyway.
Yeah.
And I took it.
Someone else.
I don't see that anything was wrong there. But that moment meant that me and that guy aren't friends anymore. And he never spoke to me after that, ever. Like, he never spoke to me. I think he might have been under the impression that I did poach the work, but genuinely did not.
Didn't.
It came to me. In that scenario, I don't think there's anything wrong there.
Nah.
But had I approached them and been like, look, I know there's trouble every week. I'll do it cheaper. I'll do it better. You should get rid of this guy. That's where it's horrible. Like poaching other people's work. When I get offered new work, especially in residency times, if I get offered a residency, I always ask about the last DJ or the current DJ. And sometimes the managers are like, oh, they've left, or they are leaving. They've chosen to leave. Okay, cool. So there's a vacancy. Sometimes they're like, well, we need to freshen things up. We are getting a new DJ.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, well, just floating the idea, really. Like, if you don't take it, then they'll just stay. And in those instances, I've never taken the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be responsible for another DJ losing their job.
Losing work. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because if that happens to me, bro, it's a long day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Long. It's like, so I've always tried to operate ethically as a DJ. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, not everyone does, but when it comes to the like new work and stuff. But yeah, if they are leaving, regardless of whether I'm taking the job, if the job's right for me, I'm taking the job. I'm going to step into the empty slot. Definitely pause. But that one was a reach. I can't lie. But yeah, the other scenario, one thing I've always made sure, and this actually happened last year and was so awkward, I've always made sure that the managers give the DJ that is leaving enough notice.
Yeah.
And I actually confirmed this with a residency once. I said, right, when is the last DJ's last week? And they were like, oh, next week is the last DJ's next week, last week. Okay, have you told them? No, but we will. Okay, cool. Please make sure you tell them before you sack them.
Yeah.
And please tell them before I start, because it's not good. And do you know what happened with that exact residency? I'd never met the general manager actually at this point either. So I turned up a little bit early to meet them, break the ice, chat and whatever. And do you know what happened while I was chatting to the manager at the front door?
He sat them.
No.
Sat them there.
They turned up for work.
Oh, that's so long.
So I'm there and it was a new manager in the club as well. So the old DJ turned up and introduced themselves to the manager while I'm stood there on my first night. And then he was like, oh, hi, yeah. Come with me a sec. We need to have a chat. And then they went into like an office bit.
That's awful, man. They can't do that shit, bro. Like, that's how you know, like, the managers just don't respect the DJs, man. Like, there's nothing worse. I think it's happened to me before. Like, I've turned up to a DJ set before, and there's another DJ setting up, and I'm just like, and we're both there, like, I got booked tonight. No, I got booked tonight. And the one that leaves takes the L, and I was the one that took the L because I was like, you know what? I can't be bothered with this.
I think in that, whoever booked you should definitely be paying at least your costs.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, whichever DJ was there first wins.
Hang on. Was he there first? Yes.
If he was there first, you got to take the L. That happened to me. It happened to me at a London event. And I was booked for it and I turned up and there was another DJ literally already set up. And I was like, oh, did they have two DJs here? He was like, nah, I just got here. I'm booked. And I was like, I messaged the person that booked me. And I was pissed because I went all the way into London for it. And plus you less as well, bro. Like,
yeah.
And that thing ain't a joke either. And parking in London, mad.
Oh, myth.
But I messaged the promoter that booked me. And I was like, there's another DJ here. And they're like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. Like, I think they offered, do I want to chat to the DJ and then split the night? I'm like, no, I'm not taking half of his money that he's expecting to make. There's no point both of us taking an L and taking half the money. One of us should win. Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just like, cool, safe, boom, left. But they paid me my expenses. But going back to the other club scenario, I was mortified, bro.
Yeah, like, it's just awkward, isn't it? It's just like, if that happened to you, man, that's just,
I actually, when the manager came out from the office, and the other DJ left swiftly and didn't acknowledge me on the way past. So I think they must have known straight away, like, oh. But also, I felt kind of bad because I was like, I didn't want them to think that I had poached it and anything with this was to do with me. I actually said to the manager, I was like, are you paying them for this night? Because if you're not, I will go and they can do the night. I'll just start next week. And he was like, no, I've said I'm going to pay him. And then I obviously got paid as well. At least they got paid for it, but I get the impression they weren't local, so they made the journey all the way to the club. But that's not okay.
That's long, man.
That's not all right. But I think when it comes to residencies, there's a difference between getting someone else's residency and taking someone else's residency.
Yeah.
And I think one is okay because it's business. One's not okay because it's snaky as fuck. How long we've been on? Oh, we've got time for like a couple more, I think. Have you got time?
Yeah.
Cool. Pritnasha, I'm sorry. I hope I'm saying your name right. Pritnasha says YouTube rips, and then two vomiting signs. Big up somebody else that knows. Long, very, very long story short. For the DJs that don't know why ripping from YouTube is a problem. First of all, the audio uploaded to YouTube is never, ever the highest quality because generally it comes attached to a video. Mm-hmm. So it's not audio quality, it's video quality, if that makes sense. When you then use a system to download that audio, it uses digital code to basically copy the song and remake the song. Like and it cannot do it at the highest quality. So you will lose certain frequencies of the song. I hope I'm not over explaining and making it too complicated. But in short, the song will sound shit if you played it on a normal quality sound system. It will not sound as good. The bass won't be as bassy. The vocals won't sound as crisp as they should. Some people don't care. And like we said earlier, some club sound systems, you wouldn't even notice the difference anyway. But The other reason YouTube Rips is not okay is because there is absolutely no way that the artist or the producer can make any kind of money from you doing it. As DJs, we need to be putting money back into the pot, whether that's through record pools who pay their dues to the labels and stuff and it benefits that way, or if it's through buying the MP3s directly from the artist. Amazon Music is a good place. We need to be putting money back into the industry that is giving us our income. And by doing a YouTube rip, you're not doing that. You're just stealing the music. And I'm not saying you have to pay 99p for every single song that you download, because that's probably not financially viable. If you're downloading 500 songs a week, that's $2,000 a month. That's a lot of money. But if it's a song that you know 100% you are going to put into your set, or you are going to put into your content, or you are going to do something with it, that means you're going to benefit from it financially, you should pay for it, man.
Yeah. I think like a lot of DJs that do YouTube rips these days, a massive amount are the new ones in it, because they come into the DJ industry or they start DJing and they're like, where the hell do you get music from? Yeah. And telling a brand new DJ that you need to spend £20 a month on a record pool to get music is mad to them. Paying 99p per track to a new DJ is mad to them as well, because all they're thinking is like, there's DJs out there with 10,000 tracks, man. Like, I need to spend £10,000 to get that. And that's what they think. So they think, you know what? I'm going to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And then they download their music library through YouTube. They do a few house parties, do a few things in their bedroom. And then when they get to the club, they're like, oh shit, the quality of this music is terrible. It doesn't sound great. And now I need to go revamp my music library again and spend money on it. So all you're doing is just messing yourself up, because you're going to have to do it eventually. You're going to have to spend money on it eventually.
But some people don't, though. Some people literally are happy living their life and they don't notice the difference. They have no idea that the YouTube rip sounds terrible because that's what they're used to. Yeah. And especially if you're exposed to other DJs playing YouTube rips, everyone's playing shit music. Your music sounds shit quality. Same. Like everyone else's, or the club speakers. Do you know what I mean? It's like there is a minuscule amount of people that really pay attention to the quality in the club. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's part of it, but I don't think that's the whole part. Like I do think the most important part of it is getting that money back in. And you're right. New DJs, when they hear someone like me say, yeah, I've got like, right now, today, I have about 100,000 songs on my Serato. Yeah, when they hear me say that, that's no one has £100,000 sat in the bank, and the ones that do aren't spending it on MP3s. Do you know what I mean? But if you know you have an artist or a song that you are going to play, Last is a great example. I got sent it for free by the label, but you know what? I knew I was going to be rinsing that, so I bought it anyway. Helps the artist, helps the label, helps the industry. It's putting money back into the industry that we are taking money from. Yeah. So we as DJs, we can't complain that our fees and our stuff is going down.
If we're not
paying it back into the pot, like, of course it's going to go down. So yeah, there's two reasons why YouTube rips are a sin. And I did say we would just skim over that one, and we did just go quite in depth. Vocals on vocals. That's a great one. Mixing two songs and the vocals from two songs are happening at the same time.
Again.
Your facial expression says it all.
No. So like I think this is an old school mentality / a house DJ thing. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Now I'm not gonna say listening to vocals on vocals is a crazy thing, but it happens a lot in R&B and hip hop. Right, especially if you're not using intro versions. Now I'm not saying I want to hear 16 bars of two vocals, but if it's just a quick 4-bar, it ain't that bad.
No, see, I'm very different. I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, because if you've got, let's use R&B as the as the example here. A lot of R&B for the clubs, that's the catchy chorus, right? People are singing along to the chorus. But if the next song starts with a chorus and now you've got both choruses going at the same time, what, like, what? It sounds messy, but what are people singing to? Like,
Yeah, so I think I'm not saying hook on hook, right? I'm saying, like some non-intro versions have a bit of talking at the start of their intro, like the four, like normally you just have a 4-bar intro of someone talking
Okay,
or
so
saying
an
something.
example then, Lean Back, Fat Joe Lean Back. I'm drawing for an old school one. This is the first one that popped in my head. Lean Back, he does a whole 8 bars of shout outs and talking and all of that stuff. That happening underneath the chorus of a song isn't an issue because they're like little ad libs and stabs. It's not constant. But when you've got two rap verses or two R&B verses or choruses or whatever happening at the same time, two main vocals song, nah, that can't happen. That can't happen.
So,
But little
okay.
intro ad libs are fine.
Yeah, so I'm not saying, yeah, and you're not gonna have the intro of like that the hook of a random Chris Brown AO and something else playing at the same time. It don't make sense.
No.
But I'm talking the first 4 bars of an original track at the end of the last 4 bars or 8 bars of the hook of the track that you're playing.
Yeah, I
Like,
don't. As long as the vocals that are coming in don't cloud out the vocals that are playing. I don't think that's a problem. Obviously, with stems available now, you can stop that
you can take
happening
that out.
anyway, even if it was a thing. And you can kind of do that with the EQ on the mixer anyway. But yeah, I think just brazenly vocals on vocals for 16 bars. I think you know what's the perfect one? I've done this a few times, but purely by magic, like it wasn't ever planned. And actually, usually when I was like playing house or something like that, is when you have vocals running of two songs, but it just so happens that the vocals happen at different
Different
parts
times.
of the beat. So it's like one song you get like a little melody, and then the next song, as soon as that melody finishes or as it's coming out, there that part starts, and then it's like back and forth. That is perfection. And if you can do that, like I say, I've done it a few times in my career. I couldn't tell you what songs, and I probably couldn't do it again if I tried.
So accidental, isn't it?
Purely, purely accidental.
It's
Happy
happening. You're like, oh,
accidents.
it works. It works. Yeah, nah. But yeah, so vocals on vocals as a overall, I wouldn't say it's a sin, but it's specific vocals on vocals, I'd say. Yeah. So I'm not gonna say that I don't mix an intro of a track that's got talking over the last bit of a hook, because it
No,
happens. It
the
happens.
talking's fine. I think it's the musical side. Emily Davidson said putting Mickey Mouse controllers on top of, she put this in capitals, on top of CDJs. Now, there's a bit to unpack here. I think putting any controllers, not just the Mickey Mouse ones, but maybe she's generalizing and saying all controllers are Mickey Mouse controllers. I don't know. Anything on top of already placed DJ equipment is a no. The CDJs have pressure sensitive platters on top. Putting your heavy ass controller on them is going to damage it. The knobs on the mixer, that's going to damage it. Like, as a controller DJ, you do have to think, how would you feel if I turned up now and I put my mixer on top of your controller and my 1210s that weigh 500 tons each on top of your controller? 1210s, bro. We spoke about this last week, man. Like, I could drop 1210s and they would leave a crater in the ground. Do you know what I mean? The dinosaurs went extinct because someone knocked a 1210 off the table and it hit
Oh,
the ground. But, like, yeah, as a controller DJ, you've got to think, like, how would you feel if someone just came and put their equipment on top of your equipment?
yeah,
Like,
they went for
not even from the emotional point, but like, what's it gonna do to your equipment? And it's one of them
people.
things where, like, okay, cool, it's the club CDJs, it's the club mixer. No one really gives a fuck. But you actually should. Like, you should, even if it's not your equipment, you should be respectful of the fact that it is equipment. This shit does cost money.
People,
You
I
know what I
don't
mean?
understand how, like, if you're a DJ, how you just don't like look at CDJs and be like, oh, do you know what? Not precious, but like, you're like, oh, it's a bit of like equipment that I should be using, man. I shouldn't just be
Yeah,
damaging it
but
like that, but.
no, because it's the same mentality that CDJ DJs had for 1210s. You see them, and if you're starting out as a CDJ DJ, you see the 1210s and you're like, look at the relic. And you're unplugging it and you're putting it on the floor underneath the DJ box. Do you know how many 1210s I've seen in that position? All dusty and shit now. Like, not even, you don't even see them anymore. They've been removed. That's how old they are. But like, That's the mentality. And I get it. I'm not saying everyone should use what's there. But if you're going to bring your own stuff, and we did cover this, but if you're bringing stuff to the club, make sure it's club standard.
Yeah.
Not the toys, not the Mickey Mouse stuff, which you can get for cheap. But if you're bringing club standard equipment to the club, just move the stuff that's already there and put your stuff on the desk. If it's not enough room, make room. Or do you know what I mean? Like, there's ways around it. Don't put your stuff on other DJ equipment. Because it breaks it, man. And like, just think of it the other way around. Rajaholic says, not giving back a borrowed headphone jack. We covered that already. So yeah, big up yourself. Somebody knows. Let's have a look. Let's try and do, what's the time? Oh yeah, DJ Panic, or Pinico. Sorry, DJ Pinico said redlining. Let's do one more. DJ Tino says playing High School Musical in Curve.
Big tunes.
Fuck off, mate. I know the exact thing he's talking about here, but let's open it up a little bit more. If you are booked for a specific set or the room or event you're booked for has a theme or a topic or a very set genre, is it a sin to step out of that genre or theme?
Yes. I feel, it's a sin. If it's like your R&B hip hop night and you go and slap on High School Musical, that's madness.
But because, I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I don't like any of that type of music, What if having such a left field choice of music sets the place off and even the man them are going mad to Glee or whatever it's called?
All right. So we're playing, I don't know, we're playing Hot Smoke Dior and I drop Cotton Eye Joe.
But what if it goes off? Now you're a fucking legend, bro, because you just turned the place upside down. You just got a wheel up. Some guy, one of the guys from the table just ran over and just bought you £50 for a pull up.
Do you know what? There's so many factors to it, man. Because I know there's events that could be running dancehall all night and then they can play Cotton Eye Joe or play Wonderwall.
Bro, in Jamaica, I'm not shitting you. When I was in Jamaica, I went there for the authentic dancehall experience and they're there running. They are properly juggling. They're not just playing like the top singles off of rhythms. They were going in and in and in. And then a DJ came on to do a set that wasn't dancehall. And at the time, Will I Am, I Got a Feeling was one of the biggest pop songs in the world. And he played that. Bro, I'm surrounded by Jamaicans, going mad, losing their absolute fucking minds in the best way possible because I got a feeling, because that song came on and my mind was blown.
Swear.
That happened about 3 or 4 times through my trip in about 3 or 4 different venues, that song. And you know another one that sets it off as well in Jamaica? Fucking mad. Celine Dion.
Swear.
Bruv, I'm not lying. On my life, literally, I was just like, I've died and woken up in some weird fucking multiverse somewhere. What is even happening? Like, I was so confused. But at the same time, it was actually fucking lit, bro. I'm not going to lie. It was mental. But that's me just flipping the coin around and just being like, I personally wouldn't draw for Cotton Eye Joe in the middle of a drill set. Because I don't think I could make that work. But I believe there are DJs and selectors that actually could make that work.
Do you know what it is as well? It's all dependent on the crowd as well. You know when to play Cotton Eye Joe. Say, for example, you have got...
That was a mad choice, but I quite like it. I quite like it, you know. That's a tough one to squeeze in anyway. But yeah, I like that you chose that one.
No, because it's like you might be playing in, I don't know, Curve, and it might be a more commercial crowd. And you probably could fit that in. You could put that in stems. You could take the acapella out and run that. I don't know. What's bro?
Don't ask the BPM of Cotton Eye Joe because I do not know that one.
No idea. But I'm saying,
I could probably work out though. Hold on. Go on, keep talking. I'm going to work out what it is.
Like, you could play it under... So you could be... Say, for example, it's around about 70 BPM, yeah? You could stems that and run that under, I don't know, gun lean. You know what I mean? Or something like that, innit? Because yeah, and like, you're still pleasing the original crowd, but then you might just be tapping into the people that maybe don't like drill too much, but then you can give them a little remix in it.
Yeah.
That could set the place off.
I think I've worked out in my head, I've calculated it, it's about 127 BPM.
127.
And I'm going to Google it. And the good thing is you've got me on camera, so you know I didn't just Google that.
Mm-hmm. So 120. So you could mix that with Bodak Yellow.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Yeah. So 132. Sorry, I was slightly off.
Not bad.
Yeah, 66 BPM is the hip hop. You could twist that up with.
You could play that. You could play that with WAP.
You could play it with What's his name? Chief Keef. Love So. Oh,
fucking hell.
Oh, all right. Any of you DJs out there doing blends right now, yeah? Do me a favor. Get Cotton Eye Joe and chuck it on Love Sosa. I want to hear what that sounds like. Or do the other way around. Flip Love Sosa a cappella on the Cotton Eye Joe instrumental, please.
Oh, my days.
I will post you from the Instagram, from the talk over Instagram. I will post your video. Please, someone do that, please. I want to hear it. I don't want to hear it enough that I'm going to do it, but someone else is just out there. Please do it. Mad. That is a mad one. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a sin, but I think I personally, as a club goer and someone like, I take music very seriously, innit? I don't like gimmick music. Mm. I'm not a fan of TikTok music either, like the trendy, like weird shit that comes up. I like good quality music. And if I'm going out for a clubbing experience, I like good, proper, like what I call proper music. I'm a bit of a purist in that sense. I wouldn't enjoy Cotton Eye Joe coming off if I'm listening to something and we're at a hip hop night, R&B night, dancehall night, whatever, and Cotton Eye Joe comes on, killing my vibe. However, if it turned the place upside down and everyone went fucking sick, I would rate it. Like, I would respect it. I wouldn't enjoy it, but I would highly respect it. Because it would be like, yeah, you know what? You took... Like, DJs that take risks, even when it doesn't work out, I do like that. I like it when a DJ takes risks. And so I'd be like, you know what? I don't like it, but I respect it.
Yeah, so in an open format venue, because I'm very for... I like when DJs go from one genre to another. And if they can creatively do that, if you can play... I don't know. Say if you are playing Cotton Eye Joe, stems that out and you then go into drill, I'm rating you. Because I do like the crossover kind of things, innit? If you can go from one genre to another, like even if you just go from Afrobeats to dancehall or the other way around, I do enjoy that. But if you can go from Cotton Eye Joe, and mix it to drill, hip hop or anything else, I rate it. But if it doesn't fit the room, then maybe not. But if it's an open format venue, do your thing.
If you take the risk and it doesn't work, now you're just a dickhead, bro. You just you just killed everything with Cotton Eye Joe.
Nah, man. Cotton Eye Joe over Bodak Yellow, man. Vibes.
Or like to be honest, that 66 BPM, you could push it up and de-drill.
Yeah.
Like you could push it to 140. You could push Cotton Eye Joe up to 140. It wouldn't sound mad. And you could drop it into drill.
Yeah, I want to see some videos. Well, I want to see some DJs flipping.
How is that? I never in my life would ever have thought that would have been a thing I said out loud. All right, sick choice, bro. That was a sick choice. I think, you know what? I think we've covered it. Is there any that I sent you that... I think we covered all of them, you know.
Let me have a look. There is one, Rajaholic, update software before a gig. That is a sin. That is just dumb.
Yeah, it's not a sin. That's just... Yeah, that is... unintelligent.
Yeah. Just updating in general gives me anxiety, but doing it before a gig, long.
Yeah, like, you can't even chat to me about updating, bro. I still run a 2015 laptop.
Yeah, man, you need to.
I don't even know what update means. I have an iPhone. I have an iPhone 11.
11.
What number are they on now? I don't even
15,
know.
15. I'm on 13 because I stopped buying the new one every time it came out.
I never buy the new one.
I bought the 13 when the 14 came out, when the price dropped, bought it outright. And I haven't checked. Because the thing is, they're all the same now. They're all the same phone, isn't it? Like,
no, the next one has 862 cameras.
Oh, Jesus.
Instead of 860 cameras. Nah. One of them's going to have a 360 camera on it soon.
I don't know. I don't think Apple... Actually, you say that. Now the technology they got with the new headset they've got coming out this month, the Vision Pro.
Yeah.
God knows what they're going to do with the cameras now.
Crazy.
But yeah.
There's some mad stuff. But I don't generally update unless I'm absolutely forced to. If I'm forced to update some shit, then I will. But generally, I can't be asked for that, man. I like what I like and I know. No, sorry. I like what I know and I know what I like.
Yeah, there's no point in updating and then fucking up your stuff. Especially Apple operating systems, man. I was on Catalina, I think. Or no, I was on Mojave, whatever it's called. I was on that and I had to go up to Catalina because my backup software, Google Drive, wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem is all the thing is. So I am on Monterey.
Oh, no, you're quite high up.
You're
quite high. Yeah, that's I think Monterey is after Big Sur. Big Sur was like the big jump up, I think. And then Monterey is after that. So you're up quite high, to be fair, considering that you got a 2015 laptop.
Yeah, I might, but my Serato is still like Serato 2.6.
Yeah, good, man. 2.6
was that was the peak of... So anything higher than that, my laptop spazzes out. I can't do it. So
2.59. Best version.
Updating your software right before a gig is an absolute no.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do it. I don't want to hear you lot complaining. Oh, my laptop broke. My laptop wouldn't work just before a gig. Don't update.
Now Blakey's not available 24/7 to take your phone calls.
Yeah.
Now Serato have no UK help available at 2 o'clock in the morning when your Serato's crashed.
Don't do it, guys.
Update it when you've got 4 days before your next booking. Play with it at home. Pause. And no, I'm done now. There's too many. We're finishing here. Thank you very much for listening, guys. DJ Double and DJ CB with the Talkover Pod 2024. And we are stepping up another gear. We're going to be bringing the guests back. So we have a guest joining us next week on La Pod. Also, let us know if there's a specific guest that you want us to have on and chat to, because the good thing about being the biggest and best DJ podcast on planet Earth is everyone is accessible. We can have any guest that you want. Basically, I'm just going to say that. It's all about manifestation, you know. Make it till you make it. But no. Seriously though, yeah. If you guys have guests that you want us to bring onto the pod, start chucking some suggestions in the DMs, man. I've got a few people lined up, but I'm always open to seeing who you guys want to hear from, and we'll get them on. So yeah, DJ Double and DJ CB at Talkover Pod on all the socials. And thank you again for lending us your ears for your safe drive home from the club. And we're back again next week. Peace.